Welcome to A Writer in Italy, the podcast. I am your host, Michelle Johnston, and this is a little share in the world of travel, books, art, and lifestyle. I live in Australia, yet have long had an attraction to the Mediterranean countries for as long as I can remember. This inspiration has fueled my creative life and given me incredible joy over the years as an artist and a writer, and that is why I have created these shares on journeys that have been made, books that I have loved, and cooking adventures inspired by wonderful food writers. You can find all show notes at michellejohnston.life and follow me on Instagram at A Writer in Italy, where you can find all of the meanderings and indeed the lure of Italy as the ultimate muse. Thank you for joining me. I love having you here for the journey of Muse Italia. Welcome. I just thought I would sit and just go on this solo share, catch up with everybody moment, because for weeks I have wanted to sit and just do a podcast on where I am and what's been happening in the moment. And I am sitting here actually, I've been editing my conversation with Tessa Quiros about her book Now and Then, and I've just felt so moved by it and really present to the joy of getting to talk to a cookbook author that I've admired for a really long time. And it's like her books have been with me for, well, probably as long as she's been making them. I believe I bought Apples for Jam, or I requested it for a birthday gift. And I'm pretty sure I could go into this book and see pages splattered with ingredients and things I've written in there if I've, you know, changed something or added something or loved something. And I've had it for a really long time. And of course, it was that beautiful cover with the girl's shoes on the front, and it really reflected where I was at the time with my young girls and the joy of the table and the colour and the beads and the toys and all of those things that brought the magic of home and Tuscany to the table. And so I did get to meet Tessa Quiros one other time, although I wouldn't expect her as an author to have any recollection of that, because I was at a book event and it was in 2019. It was just before we were about to go traveling, and I have spoken about it before in a long time ago on the podcast, that her and Emiko Davies were doing this book tour over to Australia, and it was called the Kitchen Book. Oh no, it was called the Kitchen Table Tour. And so I bought a ticket and spent some time at the table with other authors. Cooks, there was a real combination of people there, and then people who were kind of like fans of her work and really just wanted to be in both of their presences. And this table was in Paddington in Sydney. And it happened to be at a woman called Sarah Benjamin's house. And Sarah Benjamin's book, A Castle in Italy, has been really important to me. It's a book about a woman who lived in Tuscany, in Florence, up near Settignano, and it's about her life. Oh, is her name going to come to me right now? I'm doing this off the cuff. I'm not taking any notes, and I haven't prepared. Janet Ross just came to me. So I just love this book. I've always have. I used to borrow it from the library for years. And even when I turned up that day, I got to chat to Sarah later in the evening after the dinner and after the wine, and as people were signing books for Tessa and Emiko, and buying books and all that kind of thing. And it was at her house. So I thought that was really kind of extraordinary. It was an intimate group. And Emiko had just published Tortellini at Midnight. And anyway, I asked Sarah if I could buy her book because I think I'd gone looking for it on Amazon or something along those lines because it was a long time ago that she published it. It's not one you're going to find on the bookshelf at a local book place now. You have to go and do a search elsewhere and source it. And she was so kind of taken away with me asking about this book that she wrote. It's like she'd forgotten she'd even done it. And she ran upstairs, came down, signed it and gave it to me. You know, they're the magical moments, aren't they? They're the moments you know that you're being taken care of on some level and that your little love of reading and books and the fact that, you know, I've always loved books. I always have. Even when life was challenging or frustrating or just wasn't going in the way I hoped it would, or if I was at home with the girls when they were little. And I always had books to turn to nourish me, to nourish my spirit. And I always gave, you know, spent time reading with the girls as well and all of that. But it's just been a long love affair for, I guess, 30 years or maybe more, really, because I used to read on the school bus and on the train. So, but they were just fiction books. And they kept me entertained. But the love of a beautiful book and how it inspires me or evokes that sensuality and an idea to prepare something beautiful and nourish the family or nourish myself or to try something, it's deeply creative. And sometimes we do need a book to remind us of these things. There's absolutely no doubt. And obviously I might worry I've collected too many. There's so many books in, I've got them everywhere, in my bedroom, in my art room, in cupboards, where else, in the kitchen, on shelves, on buffets. But they are really reflecting everything that I am. And everything I have made and everything that I've wanted in my life, that's what they've given me. And just having this conversation with Tessa about making things, creativity, publishing, the collaborating aspects of creating a book, like it really dawned on me just how much is involved. And it's not that I didn't know that, I certainly did. But I know as an author and a writer and someone who's also trying to put out a book and finish it, actually, I know why I've probably gotten daunted because I'm trying to do it all myself. And when you do that, it just becomes like a lot of work, I guess. And it's not that I'm afraid of work by any means, but I just tend to get distracted. I just tend to find other things that I need to do. And so then I have to come back to some quietness and a day alone. And then I'm like, oh yeah, that's still sitting there. That hasn't gone away, which I always consider a beautiful sign. There's something important there for you to do, for you to finish. And at the same time, getting to have the conversations still feeds that because it reminds me of the importance and it reminds me that people love books as well. And what they give them, because I don't think I'd be in this house right now, living in the country with a garden with full of roses. I wouldn't have planted the cypress. I wouldn't have planted all of the trees and the perennials and the orchard unless I wasn't looking at these books, because nobody in my life has the lifestyle that Richard and I have here. They've all got more of a inner city lifestyle. Or, you know, just out in the suburbs. And I've always craved it. And I've also gotten a lot of permission to live it through reading books like I've mentioned and the ideas that I get around travel and But even then, you know, over the years reading Frances Mays, and I loved just having this knowing of the seasons and discovering that through the books. Like, for instance, Australian culture doesn't really nourish that. I think more so now that restaurants are becoming a bit more sustainability minded and things like that. But our culture has steered away from that. Like, we can still get a lot of vegetables and we don't have markets readily available everywhere. And our, like I said, our shopping malls are full of things that you can, that have been imported from overseas. And like, that will always be that way because of the convenience factor. And not everybody gets to grow their own vegetable patch nor have dirt available or land. So I know it's a privilege. But I also know I've made this happen. I've made this lifestyle for myself and we've chosen it. And we've chosen to sustain it and keep going when it was hard work and when there was drought. And people always come to our house, for instance, and they're like, oh, wow, doesn't the garden look beautiful? Oh, I love this. Show me this. You know, can we go up to the paddock and look at the greenhouse? Can we go and see the chickens? And the kids come and they run around and with, you know, all of our family and friends. And we've had beautiful long tables out in the garden as well over the years. And all of that I saw in books first. I didn't grow up having those experiences. It just wasn't the way it was. But as I started to see them in books, in cooking, in lifestyle books and things, I was like, oh, I want some of that. So that's probably why I feel so nourished by the conversations I get to have, and I don't take them for granted. It's like part of me already knows that we should be talking about these things, and I really revel in that, and it helps me grow as well as a person, using my voice, writing about things that I love. And I've still got a bit of growing to do, but I feel really centered in it now. Like, I feel ready. And I feel ready for a community of like-minded people to be around me. Like, I didn't push it away, but I remember thinking, like, if I'm on Instagram talking to people, well, is that too much? I think maybe it reminded me of Mae Sarton, and I know that's a really random author to talk about, but she was a poet and she wrote diaries, and I used to read her book about 20 years ago, Journal of a Solitude. And this book was really extraordinary to me because I was someone who loved just being alone and reading and sipping coffee and sitting in cafes, and I just loved it. But she always kind of moaned a bit about the infiltration of the outside and the people and that it's too much. And I remember thinking, oh, wow, that could be a challenge. And I don't know why I resisted it. I think I just thought that I wouldn't be able to handle it, maybe. But I've realized over the last few years, and I was slow coming to Instagram, and it's a shame because I think it's changed a lot, and I probably missed a really great opportunity to really get going on there. So it's been a slow process now, because if anyone uses it, they know that it's so hard to create a community there now without paying or having a bit of luck, I guess, to get shared with the right people. But I mean, I don't sweat that. I just go with it, as you may have noticed. But I realize that I really enjoy the interaction, that it does. That's my phone now telling me something nice off Insta. I should turn that off. But I really enjoy it, and I'm not afraid of it now. And I just find that the community and the connection is lovely. I mean, that's what we want, right? Like, we want to be able to share and tell our stories and feel a little bit more of humanity, especially when so much crazy stuff is happening in the world. We can't deny that there's so many things that are tricky and painful, and maybe even in our own lives, you know, there are things that are tricky and painful. And I've realized that, oh, wow, talking about books that we love and talking about images, or whenever someone compliments you and says, oh, I love your photography, or I love what you write, like, I know I will never take that for granted. I will not, because it took me a really long time to get here, and it took me a while to own it. And I'm there now, and I feel like kind of wide open. And that's probably why I've been thinking about sitting down and just doing a little solo share, because I've had this monstrous year. Like, I've had this bonkers year. It all started last November and it hasn't stopped. It's just been a roller coaster ride. And there's been really good parts and there's been really hard parts. And it's been evolving around family, the loss of my nan, and things just got tricky at times. And there's no point in going down that road really, but there's been a lot of hoops. And at the same time though, when things were really tricky and I was getting too stuck in my head, let's say, I was all worrying about something that I couldn't control. I kept coming back to the podcast. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to do this. And I was reading books, and then I was exploring things that even sometimes now I get publicity and agents, you know, wanting me to read their books and share them. And I do get that here and there. And then I have to decide, am I going to go down that rabbit hole? Because I'm going to commit myself. Most of the time in the past and up until now, really, I've just shared what I've wanted to share. Like, I've only really explored the books that are meaningful to me and I have some kind of connection with, or the authors, let's say. But, you know, slowly as it's grown, I've started to receive requests, and I mean, some are completely random. So I just, that it's not even in the genre, or it doesn't cover anything that I'm used to talking about. But most of the time, it's the right kind of book author. And that's been really nice. But it's also a massive commitment, because it takes me over a month. Like, read the book, sit with the book, research the author, write the questions, do the podcast, have the conversation, edit, share. And while that's all good, it's still very real. And I can feel it. Like, I feel like I've found the reason I called it A Writer in Italy. I'll tell you something funny about that. Years ago when I started this, like, so naively, I had no idea. But that's cool sometimes. That's very useful, that experience. Richard, my husband, he said, why are you calling it A Writer in Italy? Like, you're not even in Italy. And I'm like, I just want to. That's the only statement. It's the only thing I have. When I did the artwork for the cover of it, it came to me straight away. I was inspired by a book cover of Nora Ephron. And Nora Ephron was a brilliant writer, and she's the one that wrote When Harry Met Sally, and, you know, she's created, directed movies, Julia and Julia, and just such an icon. Anyway, one of her book covers has this post-it note on it that says, I know nothing. I'm pretty sure that's what it says. I bought that book in Melbourne a long time ago. And, you know, the artwork idea came to me quick too. Bang, done. I knew that it was A Writer in Italy. And over the last few years, I've discovered why. Because the one common denominator is the writing of the authors who are researching about Italy, who live in Italy, or who are inspired by Italy. And the friendships that I've created on Instagram evolve around that too. And even though at times I have kind of felt a bit guilty, or, you know, I might go down a shame spiral over the fact that I haven't been able to travel this year, but in a way that's been something that's been out of my hands because of the situation that has unfolded in my life over the last year. Let's just say it's been a testing time, and as much I could actually travel, it's just that the resources have gone elsewhere. The resources to get a ticket and all that jazz have completely had to go elsewhere. And that's what happens when you have a family. Like, you have to juggle it all. And, you know, it's not that the wolf's at the door by any means, but getting from Australia to Europe is it's quite a commitment financially. I know it will happen. I know it's still there. But I haven't kind of thought to myself, well, you should stop now because you're not really a travel writer and you're not really this or that. Like, I just thought, I'll just stick to what I enjoy doing, which is reading books on Italy. That's why this all started. And then I'll just finish the book I wrote about traveling to Italy, which is a book I really love. And I know this book will have its own way, and it might be out in the next 4 weeks. It might be out in the next 4 months. Time will tell, because I'm very close. But like I said, I've just been completely distracted, and that's fine. It's just me also navigating the time and really going all in on myself and going, you know, you have to take care of this now, and not letting other things distract me or become a priority, I guess. I've also had the time, and this is why I'm not afraid of waiting for things anymore. Like, I do believe in that things happen at the right time. And I also know that it's a better book now than it was 3 years ago. It's kind of tricky because you want it to be the essence of that moment, particularly as a travel memoir. At the same time, for it to be a good book, it needs to be developed and enhanced and edited some more. And so that's what's been happening. That's been interesting too, because since I've been reading a lot more and researching a lot more in the last 3 years, those elements have developed for me. And I think that's been really important. In a funny way, I think my book it's a travel memoir. It's about many, many things. It's about a woman taking care of herself. It's about a mother taking care of herself. It's about claiming the right to have beauty in your life, even if there are a few little sacrifices in the process. It's about the ups and downs of travel. It's about what you discover along the way. It's about the fact that solo travel can be really hilarious at times and a lot of fun. In some respects, I think it's a book that is kind of like Eat, Pray, Love, but it's written from a perspective of the woman who doesn't leave her marriage, that stays in the marriage but goes on the adventure and comes back and keeps on keeping on. But she makes that space for herself because she knows she's important too, and that if she doesn't, it's all going to pot if she doesn't do something for herself. And it's not to say that I never did. I always looked after myself. But I wanted to live a bigger life. I know I'm meant to live a bigger life, and I've always felt that. And so taking that time and then writing it, which took very little time to write, actually. It's taken me more time to pick it back up and put it back down and edit. I don't think it really matters. I just think it matters that I do it. Anyway, I've realized that this book could be very nourishing for women and mothers and anyone who likes a travel memoir, because it's not all about that by any means. One time over the last few years, I got to talking to Emily, and she'll know who she is. I won't say any more. And we have talked on Instagram over the years, And one day, you know, she's got a young family and she said, oh, we just need books for women who are doing this, that still have family and that haven't thrown it all to the wind. And I'm like, you're right. We need those mentors. Like, we need the women that, even if the family life's hard and even if the marriage is challenging, even if it's all perfect or not, that we're still participating on that level. And I agreed with her. And I sat there and I thought, well, maybe that's me, because I've written that book. I just haven't got to the other side of completely finishing it and publishing it. And then I'm like, I'm going to think about this. And I said to her, I'm going to come back to you. And I'm going to think about what authors I know that write like that, that talk about family and marriage, not about the personal stories in the family, but just family life and how it affects you as a creative, as a mother, as an artist, all of that. And I went away that day and I was like, who do I know other than cookbook authors? And maybe that's why I've been attracted to them, because they do seem to bring people together. They might create a new dynamic of a family, or they might share their family. And perhaps that's been something that I've found really nourishing along the way. So I went away that day and straight away I got it. It was Sue Monk Kidd. She talks about the reality of being a spiritual woman, being a writer, and nourishing the family and herself along the way. Sue Monk Kidd has written a beautiful book. I read it many years ago. I mean, a lot of you might know her for The Secret Life of Bees. And I found her work quite sustaining. Oh, she's written like The Dance of the Dissident Daughter, the book about the pomegranates that she wrote with her daughter where they went to Greece, Traveling with Pomegranates, a book that was written with her daughter Anne Kidd Taylor. And that's a beautiful travel story about two women in the middle of big changes in their lives. And yeah, I would recommend that. Yeah, so that really sat with me and I'm like, oh, can I carry this? This is big. And I thought, yeah, I can. I've got it now. I can feel it. It's been with me all along. But I've had to go deeper and I've had to work on myself a bit. I've had to keep going with the podcast. I've had to keep researching books. I've had to find why I'm still here and why I want to keep going. You know, the last few months have been hilarious because getting to talk to Lucas Spaghetti, the iconic Lucas Spaghetti, which is very much connected to the Eat, Pray, Love story, was kind of crazy cool. It was so good, because it really came about as a response to talking with Laura Botten when we spoke and I did a podcast with her. And we were talking about the books we love on Italy as Italophiles. And she brought up the book by Luca Spaghetti, Un'amica Italiano. And I read that a really long time ago and I borrowed it from the library. And then I went and bought and just read it on my Kindle app, his other one, Anything is Possible. And I just loved it. And I'm like, oh, I love this guy. He is hilarious. And so I DM'd him on Instagram. And then I forgot about it because I did it so quickly and so randomly. I actually did it while I was sitting at work one day. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to ask him if he wants to come on. And it was just so quick and random that I actually forgot that I did it, probably because other things are happening and I'm juggling things. And about a week later, I see this, ciao, Michelle, I would love to come onto your podcast, but can we just wait a little while? I'm an accountant. He's still a tax accountant. When my workload's better, I'll come back to you. And I was like, yeah, I am here. And time went on. This was probably June. And I was thinking, oh, should I get him? He gave me his email. And I'm thinking, should I get in touch with Luca Spaghetti? And then I'm thinking, well, in Italy, it will be summer. Everyone's on holiday. We'll talk in September. And in September, I thought about it again. And then I thought, oh, that's okay. I'll get to that soon. And about a week later, I had a message from Luca. Ciao, Michelle. I'm ready. I just thought, this is going to be fun. What a joy, you know? What a joy just to have a chat with this particular person and to hear about his friendship with Elizabeth Gilbert, which resounds all through the books, you know? Like it's a really fascinating story because it was really his love of New York. He has this beautiful quote about the tug on his heart of New York, how loving American music, loving Manhattan was really a big deal for him. And it was really how he got to become friends with Elizabeth because he had a friend and his friend was friends with the guy from New Jersey. And so it all just was meant to be. It's a lovely story. It's a lovely story. So having the chat with Luca Spaghetti was a highlight. And talking to Tessa Quiros this week, was a really beautiful thing too. And I am grateful because over the whole year, as I've had to swim through the waters and get to the other side of a few things, and everything's fine. It's just been a lot of to-ing and fro-ing and things happening that were a little unexpected and things changing. It's been lovely to have the community still listening to my podcast, still chatting on Instagram, still sharing. And I haven't wanted this to go away. I haven't wanted to move on. I've wanted to grow, and I've got some other beautiful ideas. I mean, I've always got too many. I have some other ideas, and they're germinating at the moment. But my thing is for now, for the end of 2023, is to share my book with you. So if anyone's got any encouraging words, I am your girl. Talk to me, send me a note, or, you know, just keep enjoying the shares. And yeah, anything is possible. Okay, thank you for listening. Just a little postscript for you book lovers. The book by Sarah Benjamin is A Castle in Tuscany, The Remarkable Life of Janet Ross. The book, Castle in Italy, is actually written by Lena Waterfield, her niece. So there is a connection. But anyway, I just thought I'd fix that up and make sure I got my facts straight. I'll add it all to the show notes too. So if you are interested, have a little look there and you'll see all of the publications that I've mentioned today. Thank you.